This is the autumnal equinox call of September 22nd, 2015, with an overview of what is going on in the universe these fine days. There will be a pause here because people are still coming online. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Joan.
Hi, this is Catalina.
I never heard of her. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Happy solstice. Happy solstice and happy equinox, actually.
Oh, happy equinox. Oh, yeah, solstice is, there you go. First lesson.
You know how many times I got that wrong in class? Do you know how many times I got that wrong? Hello?
Hi, this is Sarah Beth.
Hi, Sarah Beth. It's Joan.
Hi.
Hi, Catalina's on the line, too.
Hi, Sarah Beth.
Hi.
Where are you calling from?
Where are you?
Columbia, Maryland.
I'm in Delray Beach, Florida.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Actually, really rainy. We've had monsoon season.
Uh-oh. Really? It's still raining down there?
Yeah, it's been raining like every single day. We needed the water, though. The one that's fed up is my dog. He just does not like this thunder and wetness. He's so fed up.
Oh, yeah, but he's too little for thunder. It scares him. It scares him.
It does. So he's here cuddled, ready to learn about the equinox.
Hello, who's there?
Hi, this is Sharon Armstrong.
Hey, Sharon, it's Joan.
Hey, Joan, how are you?
Good. We've got Catalina and Sarah online, too.
Thanks for doing this.
Hi. Oh, no problem. It's fun, except I always get nervous before I do this. I don't know why. I'm like, I'm going to screw up. I don't know why. I don't get nervous doing anything else. I get nervous doing this. Figure that out. What a dork. What a dork. Let's see. It's just 7:30, so I know there were a few other people who were might top on, so let's give it a few more seconds. I am recording this because I do have about, I don't know, 4 or 5 people who said they wanted to, you know, they couldn't make it tonight, and can I make a recording? So I said, sure, why not? So you can't reveal that you killed someone or anything because...
Ladies, I am going to mute the phone because I'm organizing some stuff over here and I don't want you guys to have to hear all the rattle. But as soon as we start, you'll have my full attention.
Oh, that's okay. I'll mute. I'll do a mute and then I'll just come back on after each segment so that if you have questions, you can ask them. So
perfect.
If I don't foul this up because Mercury is in retrograde, I will be able to mute and unmute everybody.
That's right.
All right, so I have 7:31. Is that what everybody else has? I think we should.
Yeah,
I know there were a bunch of people who said they're going to, you know, do it or come in late or do, you know, or take the tape recording. So we'll just start with it and we'll go from there. Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about, and I am, let me see if I can mute this. Hold on. You should be muted. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
And you're not muted. Yeah, so you're not muted, so that didn't work. So we'll just have to go with it. So you will have to mute yourself. I'm sorry. They said *6 was mute, and I never used it before. It might not work on a recording. That's the one we're recording. But anyway, so we are here for the autumnal equinox. Now, if you were on the summer solstice call, I spoke about the tilt of the Earth on its axis, and if we didn't have that tilt, if we weren't bombarded by, you know, meteorites and whatever, when in the formative years of the universe, we would be straight up and down, and we'd have no seasons. It would always be an equinox. The sun would always shine directly on the equator, and nothing would tip. You know, we wouldn't tip towards the sun to make it summer, away from the sun to make it winter. It would be rather boring because it would be an equinox, 12 hours of light, 12 hours of dark, you know, depending on where you are, pretty much around the year never changing. So fortunately, we don't have to worry about that. We have something fun called the season. So equinox comes from equi, and I'm sure it's Latin, but I'm not a linguist, because we have 12 hours of light and 12 hours of dark at this, you know, 2 days a year, the autumnal equinox and the spring equinox. So astrologically, on the autumnal equinox, we have the sun moving into the sign of Libra. And on all our solstices and equinoxes, we have the sun moving into what we call the cardinal signs. The cardinal signs are the action signs, the movers, the doers, the shakers. So you have in spring, the sun moves into Aries, okay? And you think of Aries, the energy of Mars, making things blossom. Cancer, you think about sort of that mommy, lazy energy of summer, that's at the summer solstice. And then now, tomorrow, the sun will move into Libra. The equinox is like 3:45 in the morning, Eastern time, tomorrow morning. And the sun will move into Libra, which is sort of a balancing. You know, things are sort of going into the balance between summer and winter. Things are falling. And then, of course, the winter solstice will be Capricorn. So these cardinal signs are the signs of action. Libra is the sign of dealing with the other person. It's the sign of the entertainer, diplomacy, meeting, the yin and yang of the spectrum. It's where I finish and you start. So if you are someone with a great deal of positive Libra energy, you're very balanced. I know who I am, but I reach out and I interact very well. I could be a very good diplomat, a very good mediator of a lawyer, someone who reaches out without diminishing myself. If you're someone who's like, whew, over the chart Libra, like way on the other spectrum, totally out of balance, you can have spectacular codependence because I don't know where I end and you begin. And I don't know who I am unless you tell me who I am. So that balance is very important during this equinox system. So one of the first questions are you out of balance? Okay, so perhaps you're giving too much of yourself, not giving enough of yourself. Where is this balance? So if you've asked me, and I think mostly everybody here, I have to think of it, about seven people asked me for their charts. So people are just going to wait for the tape. But if you asked me for your bi chart before the call, which I think everybody here did, look at the house where the sun is on the outer wheel. So the inner wheel is your birth chart, right? That's not going to change. The outer wheel, where the sun is in the outer wheel, is telling you where the balance needs to be had in this chart at this time. So for me, my sun is transiting my 12th house, and I have a lot of planets in the 12th house, the house that connects you to God, right? I'm a karmic astrologer, so I'm interested in the mysteries of the universe. It's very 12th house. And so I'm having to do that balance step now. Am I giving too much to my physical self, right? The sun is your physical inner energy. Or am I giving too little? Am I balancing me and spirit? So that's what I'm doing at this time. So, I mean, I could go around all the houses, but because we're a relatively small group, you know, if you want to tell me what house, the big wheel on the outside, and the sun is the blue circle with the blue dot in the middle, if you want to yell at a house, I could tell you where the balance is looking for at this time.
Mine's the same as yours. It's Libra, so you said it.
You're,
how about
well,
the fourth house?
Okay, fourth house. Everyone's sun is in Libra as of tomorrow, but the house is what I'm talking about, the transiting house. Fourth house is you and home. The fourth house is home, roots, my mother, basically, and my family. So it could be the family you were born into. It could be the family you have created. But there's a balancing between family life and your life. How much you're giving to them, how much you're receiving from them, and how much, you know, this, again, where do you end and they begin?
Thank you.
Sure. Any other houses?
Mine's also in the 12th house.
12th house? Oh, how cool. Okay.
We're synchronized.
We're synchronized. Oh, no. Okay, so now, that's tomorrow. Now, September 27th, which is, what, next week, obviously, is Sunday, actually, is a supermoon and a lunar eclipse. Okay, so the supermoon, because the moon doesn't orbit us in a circle, it's very elliptical, but pear-shaped, the moon can range between 239,000 miles away from us, that's at its closest, and be as far away as 252,000 miles. Now, that's 20,000 miles difference, which when you consider all of space, that ain't a lot, but that's a pretty good range. So it's some 20,000 miles, give or take, it can go closer or further away. So a supermoon is a full moon that happens when the moon is as close to us as it can be. Okay, and a full moon happens when the moon is as far away from the sun so we can see it. So the reason the moon is a supermoon on Sunday night is because it's as close as it can be to us. Now, at the same time, we'll have a lunar eclipse, and a lot of people call it the blood moon. And that's because when a lunar eclipse happens, the Earth is exactly between the sun and the moon. Okay, so picture it, as Sophia Petrillo would say. To have a full moon, the moon has to be on the opposite, as far away as it can be from the sun. During this full moon, the Earth cuts that path. And when we emerge from the shadow of the moon, technically, it looks very red, and that's why they call it a blood moon. So now, what does this mean astrologically? Carl Jung referred to a lunar eclipse as a time when you get in touch with your shadow self, when all that is hidden comes to light, okay? And a full moon is a time for basically manifesting things. So we know the sun is in Libra, right? The sun goes into Libra tomorrow. It'll be there for a month, basically. So where is the moon? Well, it's in the opposite. Very good. Ding, 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 Aries, because it's the opposite sign. So we have a full moon in Aries. Full moon is a time of manifestation. With the sun in Libra and the moon in Aries, we're on what we call the me-to-we axis. So, again, it's balance. Where do I begin? Where do they stop? And when your shadow self of the eclipse is coming out, it's like this is a time where we have to be brutally honest about self and other. So, say if my, and you won't see this on the thing I'm sending you, because the moon moves so fast, but the moon is not opposite the sun right now. But it will be by Sunday. So if your sun, say, for instance, is in the fourth house, you know that when the moon is full, it'll be in your 10th house. So your balancing act is between home and work. Fourth house is home, roots, mother, you know, my heart. The 10th house is father, career, social status. So that's the balancing act of what secrets, what hidden energy is there. You know, we 12, one house people, it's, 12-6. 12th house is spirit. 6th house is body. So it's a body-spirit thing. Am I not paying enough attention to my body, or am I spending too much time meditating? Or you could look at it as, is there a way to infuse spirit into my work and my body? The 6th house is feeding, working, and healing the body. What food we put in it, how we exercise it. And 12th house is all about spirit. So those are the huge questions that are coming right smack up in front of us with all this moon, sun, Libra, Aries stuff. Balancing of me to we, what I give myself and what I give others. Okay? Happy? Perky?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, now let's look at the big planets, because this is something else that's very cool. Between all this action, on the 24th of September, Pluto finally goes direct. Pluto has been retrograded for months now. So Pluto on September 24th will no longer be in retrograde. Pluto is the big P, big red P that's sort of sitting on its tail, it's like a chair on the bottom, and it's big P on top, and it's bright red, okay? So Pluto comes out of retrograde and goes direct on September 24th, which is, what, Thursday. So we've got the equinox, Pluto direct, and full moon lunar eclipse. So this should keep us busy for a while. So when a planet goes retrograde, which literally means it looks like it's going backwards in the sky, when the planet goes retrograde, it requires us to internalize what it wants us to do. So, but what does Pluto want us to do? Pluto wants us to internalize. Pluto says, well, somebody said to me today, Pluto is the planet that kicks you in the butt. It gives you the offer you can't refuse, is how I like to say it. Pluto says you must go deep within yourself, dig up all the muck and mire and yuck that is that you're hiding from yourself. And then what I want you to do is dig it out and transmute it, make it better. Make what is wrong right again. But to do that, you've got to go deep within yourself. Remember, Pluto was Hades to the Greeks, the ruler of the underworld, keeper of the secrets. He ruled life, death, death and transformation, all that good booty-spooty stuff. So this should be a huge time, and you only have until the 24th where it goes direct, to finish up any deep internalization. Throw out old ingrained ways, like, you know, make room for the new crop. So look at where that big red P is on the outer wheel, okay, because, again, the inner wheel is static. It doesn't change. That's your birth chart. You're stuck with that for this lifetime. So Pluto is demanding change in that house, digging deep within yourself to overcome it. So for me, it's in the third house. Third house is siblings, friends. I've been going through a lot of changes with friends. But now, during this time of retrograde, it's like, okay, really, I need to evaluate. Am I a good friend to that person? Is that person a good friend to me? So, and you need to really, and I'm sort of simplifying it, but that's the kind of work that has to be, that's to be done. So where Pluto is in your chart right now by transit in the big wheel is where Pluto is demanding change. And Pluto right now is in the sign of Capricorn. It'll be there till 2023. And I've written a lot about this because of authority. It went in 2008 when Obama became president. So it's change in Capricorn. What does Capricorn rule? Authority, the banking system, the government. So we saw the collapse of the banking system. We saw the election of an African-American president. So it's demanding change in how we deal with authority. So let me just give you an instance. Mine's in the third house. I've had a lot of friends in my life, mostly because I'm a Libra rising and was very codependent, who were frenemies types, who were people who were not exactly serving me, who were, you know, demanding too much. You know, I had a sibling and who was like always, you know, just on me, demanding, abusive, blah, blah, blah. And this is the kind of stuff I've had to weed out. So it's where, you know, where's your authority in these areas that Pluto's in? So does anybody have any questions about what house Pluto's in for them and what that might?
How about the seventh house, Joan?
Oh, seventh house. That's the house of marriage.
Uh-oh.
But that is the house of any contractual relationship you make. So I had a friend who had Pluto going through the seventh. She's been married for like 25 years. And, you know, as marriages go, you know, she and her husband were like, it was 25 years. The kids were moving out, blah, 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 blah. But she also had a business partner who was a colossal pain in the butt. And I'm like, you're concentrating on marriage. It's your business partner that you have to make change with. And that's exactly what happened. The business broke up. She's doing fine on her own. But the business broke up because she got rid of the leechy business partner. The marriage weathered the storm fine. So it's any intimate. Remember, seventh house is the house of Libra. So it's every intimate contractual deal that you make could be your boss, and it could be your business or your marital partner. Doesn't mean it's going to break up, but it could be going through a change, you know, how things shift.
Joan, could it mean a start of a new relationship, a
sure.
business relationship?
Sure. Yeah, you okay. could be signing a new contract. Sure.
Right. Right.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's not always, you know, bad. No, it's a shift. That would be a shift for you. Say, for instance, you know, you're going to get married or you're going to start a business. Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Good, thanks.
Mine's on the third as well.
What are you, like, following me?
I know. We have charts that are relatively similar. It's kind of freaky.
That is kind of freaky. Get away from me.
Mine's in third as well.
But I'm a Cancer son, and you're not a Cancer son, so we're not identical.
But I'm a Cancer son.
Oh, wow. See, she's
I know.
Me.
We have both. I know. Yeah. Okay.
I feel very out of it.
That's the problem with having a smaller group, you see. I mean, no, I'm a Scorpio son, so I don't know. That's just very weird. Well, I guess we were meant to go through this together, so we can have the one oddball. We'll let you in. We'll let you in.
Well, you know, since the Pluto moves so slowly, when we did the solstice one, you explained to me, like, there was going to be a lot of contact with family, like that was the retrograde with siblings
yep.
specifically.
Yeah.
And it's been insane. It's been true, much more so than usual.
Yeah, they're all over, aren't they? Yeah. Well, you and I come from big crazy families, so they don't go away, do they? And here's the fun part: it's probably going to be there for another 4, 5, 6 years. That's how slow Pluto moves.
Oh.
So, yeah. You want to throw yourself out a window now, don't you? Yeah. So that's I calculated because it's going to retrograde like that. But just as an aside, Pluto is another one, and that's one of the reasons why they demoted it to a baby planet and not a big planet, is because it has a very elliptical, very weird orbit. So when it's way out there on that sort of pear shape, it's so far away from the sun that it literally comes to a crawl, and that's what it's been doing. So let me speak English. I moved my chart up going, when the hell is it getting out of the third? And it's somewhere around 2020, as I recall, 2019. I'm like, oh, God. So Pluto is crawling. And if it's anywhere like at the beginning of your house, or like mine is pretty much in the middle of the house, it's got a long way to go still. So.
What degrees? I'm using the summer solstice chart and progressing myself as you talk. So what is it? What exact degree is Pluto in now?
Pluto right now is at 12 degrees Capricorn retrograde.
Yeah, it moved 4 degrees since the solstice.
Yeah, whoopee.
So it is more towards the middle.
Yeah, it's a pain. It's a pain. Okay. So let's talk about Mercury, because guess what? Yes, it's in retrograde, and everybody's panicked, but it's a short retrograde. It went in on September 17th, and it'll be out on October 9th, so we have a very short time. And this is when everybody says, oh, you know, don't sign a contract, you know, computers will go loopy. And that's true, but it also depends on where your Mercury is natally. So this is one time you want to look at your natal chart, because obviously Mercury is another one. Everything's in Libra now. Mercury is also in Libra. My natal Mercury is in Libra. So for me, that's why I can't get my Fios. So I have to keep rebooting my stupid Fios ever since the start. It's driving me crazy because it's very close. I have Mercury Libra 14. By birth, and Mercury right now is, guess what, 14 degrees Libra. So I'm in what we call a Mercury return, but it's retrograded. And my Mercury is in the 12th house, which is the house of secrets and things hidden. So this is a tough retrograde for me. So if you have, you know, a Mercury in Libra, Mercury in Aries, the opposite sign of Libra, or Mercury in one of the other cardinal signs, Cancer and Capricorn, because they're squaring it, this will be sort of a tougher Mercury, communication-wise, hand-to-mouth coordination, you know, saying the right thing at the right time, any kind of processing of information. So if you've got it, you know, natally, if it's sitting on there, if you're looking at the wheel and you see, you know, the out wheel, Mercury, and Mercury, by the way, I'm sorry, is the little guy. He's kind of hard. He's a circle with a cross on the bottom and then a little hat. He's kind of a creepy color on this. It's kind of a creepy lime color. So he's a cross on the bottom, a circle on top, and a little mustache on top of his head is the best way to describe him. So if he's interacting with your natal Libra, then, yeah, he's going to be, you know, annoying during this time. You got to think.
So my Mercury is in Leo, my birth one, and in the 10th house. And so right now you're saying Mercury would be in Libra, which would put it in my 12th house. That's not a square. That's
no.
not as heavy, right? Phew.
No.
Oh,
no.
Good.
So, Joan, what does it mean if Mercury's in your 4th house in Virgo, in your on the inside chart?
On your inside chart? Mm-hmm. Virgo, Libra, it's not doing anything hideous.
Okay. And on the outside, the 5th house?
Outside 5th house. It's not interacting with your natal one because Libra and Virgo are right next to each other, so
yeah.
they don't form a square or anything.
Oh, I got it.
So it's not going to affect it. It's in your house of creativity. The 5th house is the house of creativity. It's the house of sex. It's the house of children. Because what could be more creative than reproducing yourself? So you may have to scream at your kids a little bit more. But there's not, it's not an impact. Not like me sitting right on top.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let's do something more fun. Let's do Neptune. And Neptune was retrograde, just went into retrograde when we did the summer call. And it will be retrograded till November 18th. So, again, it's one of these slow guys. But a Neptune retrograde. Okay, Neptune vibrates to the 12th house. And Neptune rules Pisces, and it's our connection to God, to the universe, you know, to whatever you call that big ball of energy out there. So when in retrograde, Neptune causes increased sensitivity, like if you're psychically in tune, if you've got any kind of gut instinct, that receptivity can be much more acute because that is our connection. That's our pathway to the other side. Neptune, you know, someone with very strong Neptune in their chart or with a lot of Pisces in their chart is very compassionate. Is a positive is compassion. You know, connection to the other side, psychic ability. Of course, the downside is addiction and escapism because Neptune wants to be in spirit. Neptune knows what it's like out there on the other side, and it doesn't want to be here in the physical. So if you've got a lot of Neptune, you're trying to escape the physical bond. Okay, so when it's in retrograde, there is a strong possibility that your inner vision, right, your intuitive ability, okay, your insight, your perception, your gut instinct are all very, very, very high. And this is like double now because Neptune is actually in the sign of Pisces. It doesn't do this often. The last time it was in Pisces was 1848. That's how long it takes to go through each of the signs. And if you know anything about the year 1848, there were a lot of uprisings. People were trying to overcome, you know, and the bad guys because Neptune is about compassion and humanity and all that good stuff. But it's also a time of spiritual awakening. So the good thing about this is a good time to be honing your psychic energy, your spirituality. Again, any retrograde is asking you to go deep within yourself to find out what needs to be, let's say, improved. So that's the positive side. It's a spiritual time. It's a time to be reassessing that spirituality. On the downside, because in the physical, Neptune deals with illusion and confusion, you know, you could be more open to someone BSing you, someone, you know, selling you the snake oil if you're so inclined. So it's also a good time to root out that type of scammer. So where Neptune is in your chart right now, while it's in retrograde, is a good time to be thinking about how to be more connected to God. So, for instance, going back to my chart, my Neptune is right now in my fifth house. And Catalina, if your Neptune's in the fifth house, I'm going to fly to Florida and punch you because you're really following
me. It is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so is mine.
Hey, so is mine. I finally joined the group.
Oh, good. We all have the Pisces in the fifth house.
Oh, my God.
On the inner, on the inner or the outer? The inner.
The outer.
Yeah, on the outer.
Oh, the outer. Never mind. I'm in 10th house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm in 5th house, too. That's crazy.
That is crazy. That is crazy. Now, we're all on the East Coast, so that may have a little bit to do with it, but that's weird. That is kind of weird. So, and in my case, it's on my moon, which is making, my natal moon, which is making me very sensitive to people saying, you know, it heightens your emotional sensitivity. And
you know, Joan, my natal moon is in the fifth house as well.
And that's where my, oh, natal moon, sorry.
Yeah.
Is it Pisces by any chance?
Yeah, 0 degrees, yeah.
That's me. I'm 0 degrees Pisces.
Yeah,
oh, this phone call is getting really weird. There's too many similarities.
My natal moon is 0 degrees Pisces, and you just have.
Oh, I remember you talking about that when you originally did this, that we had the same.
Okay. I when I do a chart, I completely forget it the minute I stop rambling. So I do, and people like, I mean, and then they call and they want to talk about it, and I have to re-listen because for some reason I just go brain dead the minute I stop doing a chart. So, okay, that's weird. So we're oochie-spoochie. So this is good. So what creative thing have you been thinking of? With me, you know, I'm trying to write another book on what happens to us as we age astrologically because your 50s are a huge time. There's many, many big things going on when you hit.
Oh, that's
going
to be a great book.
I know, and all my friends are like me, like I'm turning 60 in a few weeks. They're like, where were you when we were 50? I was like, hey, well, I didn't think of it then. But I haven't been able to get it down properly. I've been writing, and I'm like, well, stupid, Neptune's retrograded. Just, you know, keep noodling it, and then in November this is going to come forth. Don't try to force it, you know. Keep futzing with it, futzing with it, futzing with it, but don't keep saying you have to, because you need to sit with it. So since we all have Neptune retrograde in the fifth house, again, fifth house is creativity. It's where you have fun. It's your connection to your children. And remember, creativity could be, you know, making a cake. You know, how do you creatively express yourself? And it's also the house of sexuality, because that falls under fun. And so any kind of, you know, where you're a kid, any connection to your children, any creative thing that lets you shine, we all who have fifth house Neptune right now should be thinking about how to plan for when this goes direct in November. You know, what do I really want to make my impact? You know, fifth house is where we shine. And I shouldn't force it right now, but I should be doing a lot of planning because after November 18th, when I go direct again, I could really tap into it and really do it. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm. It does.
Okay. And those of us with the moon and Neptune there, you know, we have to remember this is a very emotional time. I'm not an emotional person, but, you know, this is the time you have to be careful not to say, you know, what do you mean by that? You know, that kind of thing. We have to sort of rein that in a little bit. Okay, let's go to Chiron. Now, Chiron and Mercury. Chiron and Vesta are asteroids, but they're pretty powerful ones. And if you've had your chart done by me, which you all have, you know that I use it a lot. Now, Chiron he's kind of cool. He was a centaur in Greek mythology, and a centaur was half man, half horse. But Chiron also had a god as a father, so he was half centaur, half god. He had a lot of issues. And the thing is he was accidentally shot with an arrow dipped in poisonous hydra blood by Hercules, which caused a really bad pain in his leg. And it was so bad that he gave up his immortality because he couldn't stand the pain. And in so doing, he also rescued Prometheus, if you know the story of Prometheus bound, from the wheel. But every day he was attached to the wheel, and birds ate his liver. So he was this doctor who transmuted this deep, anguishing pain. So where we have Chiron in our chart, and Chiron is like the blue, it's like a K with a little wheel on the bottom. Where Chiron is in your chart natally, you carry a very, very deep pain. It's something you don't want to deal with, but you have to. Otherwise, the pain just keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger. So Chiron is in retrograde. And so he's a deep, deep wound that when we transmute, we discover previously unrecognized abilities. So, you know, so often it's where we beat ourselves up, where we don't want to go, and there we find our greatest strength. So where is this pain? When Chiron is in retrograde, it's a time to sit with that pain. And it sounds delightful, but it is a time to say, okay, this is something that has been bothering me for a very, very, very long time. And now I need to figure out a way to finally, you know, transmute that pain, go through and relieve it. All right. Now, if you are between the ages of 49 and 50, and this is part of the book I'm writing, you are in your Chironic return. There's three things that you go through in your 50s. Chiron return, then you have a nodal where the nodes return when you're 54. Then at 58, 59, you go through a Saturn return. They're very, very powerful and sometimes painful things. So when Chiron is in retrograde, it is a time to sit with that wound. If you're around 49, 50, and you're in your Chironic return, you really have to get through this pain now. Otherwise, guess what? You're going to have a miserable time. So looking at Chiron on the outside wheel will tell you, obviously, what house it's transmuting right now. And that's where, you know, this pain is. Now, natally, the inner wheel is where it is for a lifetime. Have you transmuted this pain now? You know, for the lifetime. Where Chiron is on the outer wheel is where it's transiting now, so it's bringing up some gunk.
What's the gunk in the 10th house?
10th house. Now, 10th house can go back to father. It's the house of father. It's the house of authority, mostly male authority. It's the house of government. It's basically the house where society says you're being a good girl or you're not playing by the rules. It's where you have to, you know, abide by the rules to get ahead. It's the social contract that we make to live in a society. But it also could go back to issues with the actual father, if that is something that, you know, is in your chart.
Mm-hmm.
So it's how do I play by the rules, or how do I no longer want to play by these rules?
Thanks.
So what degree is it still in Pisces?
Excuse me.
Chiron?
Yes, Chiron is, I'll give you the degree in a minute. Chiron is right now at, where the hell is it? Where did he go?
18 degrees.
18 degrees Pisces, retrograded.
Okay, so then fifth house, a bunch of us again. Because we have the fifth house, Neptune.
Yeah, he's ahead of Neptune. So he might be in someone's fifth house.
He's in my fifth house, and my natal is an Aquarius fifth house, Chiron, at the very beginning of the fifth house.
Okay, so you've got a lot of fifth house. See, mine's already moved into the sixth because of where my Neptune is. So mine's moving into the house of my body, my physicality, which is why I'm terrified I'm going to put the 15 pounds on that I lost, even though I know I won't, but it's like, oh, my God, you know. That's the starting that action. Anybody else have any Chironic questions?
Joan, when Chiron is right at the line on the natal part between the sixth and seventh house, I don't think I've ever noticed that before. It's right at the line entering Sagittarius.
Okay, look on the outside wheel, that little tiny wheel on the outside. Is there an arrow there? Is Sagittarius there on the 7th?
Yes.
And what degree is it?
27 degrees.
And where's the Chiron?
Chiron is right in the natal chart, right on that line.
And how many degrees is it?
27.
Okay, so it's right. So you read it in the 7th house. If it's within 5 degrees of the next house, you read it. So it's 7th house. So it's much more issues of relationship and can I partner correctly and can I trust myself in public situations when I'm dealing with people. So it's more of a seventh house issue.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, anybody? Okay. Now, Vesta will be went retrograde August 12th. And will be retrograded till November 13th. By the way, by Christmas, everybody will be out of retrograde. So that's a good thing. I won't have to talk about retrogrades and in the winter solstice. So Vesta, and she's depicted in your chart by the little blue flame, because she was the Vestal Virgins who kept the hearth fires going. And Vesta is where you have a burning heart desire. It's something you want to do. When we were talking about my 12th house, I have Vesta in the 12th house. Because don't you say it.
No, it's not the natal. No, it's in the second or third wheel, so no, it's
you're
not the natal.
You're for a bruising there, lady. I'm pulling up your chart right now. And so mine's in the 12th, meaning I wanted to be dead. I wanted to learn and write about the mysteries of life. I mentioned I had a lot in the 12th house. I also have Mercury and I have Venus there. But I had to overcome a very strict Catholic upbringing, you know, Italian immigrants. You're going to go to hell if you start studying astrology. This, you know, this is good, blah, blah, blah. So I had to overcome these roadblocks to find my voice, to find my search for spirit. So where you have Vesta is where you have these roadblocks natally. I really want this, and I have to really work at it. Now, she is retrograded right now, and meaning, again, do I have to rethink where I need to devote myself? Am I really, have I sort of forgotten how to do this? And have I, you know, really not paid attention to what I need to do, you know, with my life? So that's where she is natally. But if you look at her, again, on the outer wheel where she is by transit, you'll see what work you need to do now. So I'm afraid to say this because Catalina is going to have the same thing. Mine's in the sixth house.
It's in Aries?
Sixth house, 7 degrees Aries.
Yeah, it's in the sixth house. And my natal is almost in the 12th house. It's in the 11th, 3 degrees away from the cusp of the 12th.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, my Vesta is 7 degrees Aries in the 6th house, and my natal Vesta is in the 11th house as well. That's insane.
Wow.
Wow.
But, you know, my right now Vesta in the outer wheel is sitting right on top of my natal Chiron in the sixth house. So that's interesting.
Yeah, you've got a lot of energy dealing with your body and your health and your work, your day-to-day work. 10th house is where we have, it's our career, it's our status, you know. Sixth house is how do I do my work? Do I, you know, drive 20 miles or do I go to the basement? Do I work alone or do I work with people? So the sixth house is the house that vibrates to the sign of Virgo. And so it's the sign of the worker bee, how I take care of my body. So you know, this doesn't mean there's going to be health issues, but you need to constantly, you know, this is what you need to look at. You know, any health fears, am I taking care of myself, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no, that's, it makes total sense, actually. Thank you.
Isn't that weird how that does that?
I know. Astrology always makes sense. It's creepy.
It's amazing how it makes sense.
Joan, say that part again. So if Vesta is in the 10th house, tell me again that interpretation. On the outer, not the natal, but the outer rim.
Outer, that means at this time there may be some roadblocks around how you are, your career.
Okay.
So you may be saying, why can't I accomplish this? Or, you know, it could be something that's mundane. I can't get this friggin' report done. Mm-hmm. Or it can be, boy, I should be, you know, doing that job. Or, you know, I'm roadblocking here. There's something that you want to achieve, and she's making you work like hell for it.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I know. She's a pain. She's a pain. She's a pain. Okay, now our other fun planet is Uranus, and Uranus right now is in Aries, and you want to know one of the reasons why the world's always wacky, but why do we have really wacky people? Uranus is the teenager of the zodiac. Uranus wants nothing more than to shake things up, you know, throw a bomb, and I don't mean literally a bomb, but walk out, where Pluto is slow, grinding, you know, just, you want to scream change. Uranus is like, hey, let's get rid of this crap and make room for something new. Let's do it fast. So there could be sudden changes. Years ago when Uranus was transiting my 10th house, I didn't know it at the time until I went back, is when I lost my job. I was a lobbyist making a lot of money, and I got into this thing, and I won't go into it. I wound up suing the company and winning. But someone wanted to replace me with his mistress, and suddenly I was without a job. Mm. But what that does is make you reevaluate and like, well, shoot, I didn't like that job anyway. I was making money, but I didn't like doing it. And so I went to another path, and that's what Uranus does. I throw a bomb, and then when everything clears up, I say, oh, you know what? This has opened a new path. It was sucked, and it was hard, but it opened a new path. And Uranus is in Aries right now. Aries is that masculine male drive. Everything male is, you know, Aries to the nth degree. I am warrior. I am leader. I am, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's like giving a prepubescent boy scissors and telling him to run around an airplane. So if you're wondering, you know, why we're producing Donald Trumps and idiots with guns right now, part of it is Aries in Uranus. And it's retrograded. Of course it is. It went retrograde on July 26th, and it'll stay retrograded until Christmas Day, actually. So the inward energy is, I want to do something new. I need to shake up something in my life, but I'm not really sure how. So I need a kick in the butt. So where are you stuck, and where you need a kick in the butt is sort of where Uranus is going. So, you know, for me, and I'm afraid to say that, it's in this house is it in the second house for me? No, it's not. I wrote second house, and I realized it's not in the second house. I was on drugs when I wrote that. For me, my Uranus is in the seventh house. I transpose the numbers. And, you know, so again, partnerships, business partnerships, marital relationships, you know, this type of thing, these intimate details,
It's in how many degrees of Aries?
It's right now 19. 19 Aries.
Okay.
Catch up. And so the whole idea of thinking, rethinking these things, the sudden changes, you know, maybe that rich man will come into my life. Where are you? You know, and shape things up. So wherever it is, it's like you're needing a sudden change. So don't wait for Uranus to throw the bomb. And where do you need to make some changes to get rid of the detritus? That's my new word of the day, in your chart. That's Uranus.
So if it's in the 11th house, what would it mean?
11th house is your social contacts, your friends. When I was first studying astrology, they said it's your house of your Rolodex. I'll tell you how long ago it was. So it's your social tribe, you know, it's your social contacts, but it's like your tribe, your buddies, people you come together with to achieve a certain goal.
Yeah.
People, not just BFFs, but people where you have like a common cause, a common ideal with, you know, your book club, your knitting club, your ACLU group, whatever, you know, that kind of grouping is the 11th house.
Okay. Thank you.
Mine's in the 6th house.
Mine's in the 6th house. So that, again, is day-to-day work and health. And we've got a lot of sixth house stuff here. So do you need to finally, you know, not change your career, but do you need to do your job in a different way? Do you need to infuse some energy? Do you need to tackle that thing that's been sitting on your desk? You know, this is all sixth house. And also it can be physicality. People get nervous when I talk about the sixth house. Be careful. Don't climb any ladders, you know. When Uranus is in your 6th house and your 8th house, don't go bungee jumping because it's the house of sudden things. I remember when Princess Diana died, I was like, I went to my chart, and that's when I had my old computer, and she had Uranus accidents and Mars, this god of, you know, war and energy and fighting. In her 8th house, the house of death and dying. And I'm like, didn't you ever have an astrologer? You were supposed to. Don't get in a speeding car when you have Uranus and Mars in the 8th house. But the 6th house is, again, it could be just a shake-up of how I do my work. I'm finally going to build that home office. Or it could be, you know, I really need
to... No, when you did my private reading, you were the only one that pegged that I was going to have this health issues, and so that prepared me, that I've been dealing with.
Yeah, you've
been quite sure it's physicality in my case.
Yeah, you've been hit it with a couple of things. Yeah, like when you hurt your foot. I mean, that's a perfect, quote-unquote, Uranian thing. You know, I'm going to do something weird and wild and, you know, just cause her to have to sit down for a while and break her toe and all this other stuff. And the other health issues you had, too, out of the blue, weird stuff. That's
mm-hmm.
Uranus. Yep, he's a pain.
And it doesn't move that fast, right? How long does it...
No,
how long does it stay?
It's the next slower one to Pluto. It's actually, I'm sorry, no, Neptune's a little bit slower, but it's slow. It could take a year or more to go through.
Yeah, because my cusp, to enter the 7th house, it has to move quite a few degrees because my cusp of my 7th house is 25 of Aries.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. I still have to deal with this.
Yeah, it'll be there probably till the retrograde, you know, goes out. So you'll be looking like next spring until it's really out. Next spring. Fun. We have a few minutes, basically.
Talk a little bit about, in global, about Saturn entering Sagittarius? I'm fascinated by that because... The last time Saturn was in Sag was when the Berlin Wall came down. And now with all the movement we have right now in the world with borders and or lack thereof, I'm
mm-hmm.
finding that very, you know, parallel.
Yep, yeah, because Saturn, to step back again, is Capricorn and it's the 10th house. So Saturn is linear time. Saturn is authority. It's, you know, daddy. It's what makes you eat your peas and stay within the line. Now, it's been in Scorpio, which I think is one of the reasons we've had so many. And, you know, Scorpio is death and dying. I think the Syrian thing and all this other stuff. But in Sag, with Saturn in Sag, it's almost a contradictory move, because Saturn is you know, stayed and whatever, and Sag is growth, expansion, you know, go out there and find your truth. Saturn does not want to be reined, I'm sorry, Sag does not want to be reined in by anybody. It's the areas of higher education and publishing and broadcasting and travel and, you know, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to find out what the whole world believes, and I'm going to find my own truth. So now you've got this, what I think is going to happen, which I hope is going to happen, is this whole, what I call theocratization of our country, you know, like, you know, like the Republican Party, and I'm sorry if my politics are coming through here, you know, this, you know, religion and God and Mike Huckabee and these people. I think that hopefully this will change for the better. That Sagittarius is, I don't want to be held in. I don't want to be, you know, grounded. It's causing Saturn to say, I need to open up. You know, it's not go crazy. Saturn will never go crazy. But I need to allow people to grow and find their own truth and find their own way. I'm hoping that's what it is. And also because Saturn has domain over higher education, I'm hoping this idea of, you know, education costs and the government assisting people so that they get a decent education in this country comes to fruition. And I'm an optimist. But, I mean, at the same time, it could also mean that we do get a theocrat running the government. I mean, it could go either way. I think the energy of Sagittarius is a little stronger than Saturn. It's going to smack Saturn out of its dodgy old ways. And I'm thinking you'll see a lot of shift in opening up. I think there's going to be a lot more people being tired of the Scorpio in Saturn was so down. You know, Scorpio's a downer. I'm a Scorpio by sun, but we're downers. You know, it's death and dying and rebirth and mysteries and all that stuff. And Saturn is happy there. But I think Sag is going to see a growth of compassion, hopefully, and, you know, more interaction with people, more accepting of people who are, you know, immigrants and things like that. That's what I'm hoping. But I've been wrong before, but it's a big shift. It's a big, big shift, and it at least get people, I think, out of the doldrums a little bit. I hope.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the last, that's when I started getting into astrology, was the last time that Saturn was right around doing those things. So to me, it's very fascinating. Okay.
Yep, that's it. Well, because anytime Sagittarius, remember Sag is ruled by Jupiter, so it's big, it's expansion, it's growth, it's all those, you know, it's all those things. So it's, hopefully it'll break us out of our doldrums. So, well, guys, the old clock on the wall says the hour is up. I don't want to keep you anymore. I appreciate you guys who are here and the guys who I'm going to send this to. I said there's like 10 people who said they wanted to come, but the time didn't work. So I hope they'll get something from that, too. And happy equinox, everybody.
Thank you so much, Joan. It was awesome. I learned so much.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Take care.